أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين
After reciting the Tashahud, Ta'awudh and Surah Al-Fatiha, Hazrat Khalifatul Masih V, may Allah be his helper, stated, The battle of the ditch was being discussed in the previous sermon as to how, due to the treachery and rancor of the Jews of Khaybar, an army of the disbelievers was assembled in order to attack the Muslims and annihilate them. Further details in relation to this have been recorded in history in the following manner. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, sent Sulayt and Sufyan bin Auf Aslami in order to bring news of these armies. As such, both of them went. They reached a place called Baydha, an open field located between Makkah and Medina, a little further than Dhul Hulayfa, which is at a distance of 6 to 7 miles from Medina. In any case, the cavalry of Abu Sufyan turned towards them when they reached Baydha. The enemy noticed them, and both of these individuals were martyred during battle. They were both brought to the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and were buried in the same grave. It is recorded that when it had been decided to dig the ditches, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, rode out on his horse, and several Muhajireen and Ansar accompanied him as well. Subsequently, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, searched for a suitable place for the army to set up camp. As such, he considered it most appropriate to have the mountain Salah behind them and to dig a ditch spanning from Mizaz to Zubab all the way to Ratij. Mizaz was a place in Medina located near the mountain Salah. Zubab was the name of a mountain near Medina. Ratij was one of Medina's fortresses, a Jewish fortress. It is also said that it was a small mountain towards the east of Zubab. That day, the task of digging the ditch commenced. Muslims had borrowed various digging tools from the Banu Qurayza, such as spades and large axes, etc. Furthermore, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, had assigned the digging of each side of the ditch to a specific tribe. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, had divided the companions into groups of 10 and assigned to them an area of approximately 40 yards. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, personally took part in the digging as well and carried the sand on his back, so much so that his back and stomach would get dirty. Those Muslims who finished their part would go and help others until the ditch was completed. It was not the case that if they had finished one task, they would sit down. On the contrary, they would go and assist their fellows. No Muslim stayed behind in digging the ditch. If Hazrat Abu Bakr, may Allah be pleased with him, and Hazrat Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, were unable to find baskets, they would load the sand in their clothes. They would load the sand into whichever cloth was available and transport it. Hazrat Mirza Bashir Ahmad, may Allah be pleased with him, has detailed this as well. He says, It was difficult for such a big army to keep its movement secret. And then the intelligence system of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, was also very well organized. Hence, the army of the Quraysh had only just left Makkah when the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, received news. Upon which he gathered the companions and sought counsel in this regard. In this consultative meeting, a sincere companion from Iran, named Salman, may Allah be pleased with him, the Persian, was also present. His acceptance of Islam has already been alluded to above. Since Salman, may Allah be pleased with him, the Persian, was knowledgeable in non-Arab strategy of war, that is to say that he was acquainted with the warfare of non-Arabs. He proposed that a long and wide ditch be dug around the part of Medina which was insecure in order to defend themselves. The idea of a ditch was a novel concept for the Arabs, but upon learning that this method of war was generally prevalent among the non-Arab world, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, accepted this proposal. In the previous sermon, it was mentioned that Allah Almighty had also informed him that this was the right strategy. In any case, he writes, the city of Medina was secure on three fronts to some extent. Due to the walls of a continuous succession of homes, thick trees, and large rocks, these fronts were protected from a sudden attack by the army of the Quraysh. It was only from the front facing towards Syria that the enemy could swarm upon Medina. For this reason, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, instructed that a ditch be dug along the unprotected side of Medina. Under his own supervision, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, had the lines of the ditch marked out and divided the ditch into segments of 15 feet each. After which, he divided this work amongst groups of 10 companions. In the division of these parties, a friendly debate arose as to which group Salman the Persian would be counted amongst. They all wanted Salman in their group. Would he be counted amongst the Muhajireen, or due to his having arrived in Medina prior to the advent of Islam, would he be considered a part of the Ansar? Since Salman was the originator of this idea, and despite being of old age, was an active and strong man, both groups desired to include him among themselves. Eventually, this disagreement was presented before the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. Upon hearing the arguments of both parties, he listened to the case made by both of them. He smiled and said, Salman is from neither one of these parties. Rather, Salmanu minna ahl al-bayt, i.e. Salman is to be counted from amongst the members of my family. From then on, Salman received the honor of being known as a family member of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. Hence, after the plan of digging a ditch had been finalized, the companions came into the field of battle dressed as laborers. The work of excavation was not an easy task. And then, the cold season was also in full force, due to which the companions were made to bear severe hardships. Moreover, since all other business came to a halt, those people who earned their bread and butter on a daily basis, and there were many such people from among the companions, they would do their daily jobs to earn money and eat, were compelled to bear the adversity of hunger and starvation as well. Furthermore, since the companions did not have servants and slaves, all of them had to work with their own hands. Within these parties of 10, there was a further division of work where certain men would dig and others would fill this excavated earth and stones in baskets carried on their shoulders and throw it away. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, would spend most of his time near the ditch and would often join the companions in digging and transporting the dirt. In order to keep the companions' spirits high as they dug, poetic couplets were recited to them. It is recorded in this regard, as related by Sahal bin Sa'ad and Anas, that the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, came to us whilst we were digging the trench and transporting the earth on our shoulders. When he saw us in this state of toil and hunger, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah upon him, stated, Allahumma la aisha illa al-aishu al-akhira, faghfir lil-ansari wal-muhajira. That, O Allah, the true life is only that of the afterlife. Thus grant forgiveness to the helpers of Medina and emigrants of Makkah. Upon hearing this, the blessed companions responded to the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah upon him, saying, نَحْنُ الَّذِينَ بَايَعُوا مُحَمَّدًا عَلَى الْجِهَادِ مَا بَقِيْنَا أَبَدًا. That we are of those who swore the pledge of allegiance to strive in jihad as long as we may live. As Abara bin Azib, may Allah be pleased with him, narrates that on the day of the Battle of the Trench, I saw the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, picking up dirt, to the extent that the whiteness of his blessed abdomen was hidden by the dirt. I heard the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, recite this couplet of Ibn Rawaha. Wallahi lawla anta mahtadayna, wala tasaddaqna, wala sallayna, fa'anzilan sakinatan alayna, wa thabbitil aqdama in laqayna. وَالْمُشْرِكُونَ قَدْ بَغَوْا عَلَيْنَا إِذَا أَرَادُوا فِتْنَةً أَبَيْنَا. Meaning, our Lord, if we did not possess your bounty, we would not be guided, and we would not be capable of giving charity or worshipping you. Thus, O our Lord, when you brought us to this stage, then bestow comfort upon our hearts in this time of distress. And if we face the enemy, then make our steps firm. You know full well that these people are attacking us in an oppressive and tyrannical fashion, and that their intention is to remove us of our faith. However, O our Lord, by your blessings we are in such a condition that when they intend and plan to strip us of our faith, then we strike against their machinations from afar and refuse to fall for their disorder. Further, he would make his voice louder upon the words, Abayna, Abayna. That is, we refuse, we refuse. According to one narration, upon finishing the couplet, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, would elongate the words. Nonetheless, the digging of the trench was a physically demanding task. And just like the other companions, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, was also present in order to dig the trench. Sometimes he would wield the pickaxe, and at other times he would collect the dirt with a shovel, and sometimes he would carry the dirt in buckets. One day, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, became extremely fatigued, so he sat down. Then he leaned against a rock to his left and fell asleep. Thus, Hazrat Abu Bakr, may Allah be pleased with him, and Hazrat Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, stood beside the Holy Prophet and stopped people from passing by the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, so that they don't wake him up. When the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, woke up after some time, he quickly stood up and stated, Why didn't you wake me up? I was asleep, why didn't you wake me up? Then he picked up a big axe and began striking the ground, i.e. he began working. By virtue of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him's blessed prayers and participation, the companions all but forgot the taxing nature of their task. On one hand, they would recite dignified poetry, and on the other, exchange light-hearted humor. And so, on one occasion, Hazrat Zayd bin Thabit, may Allah be pleased with him, who was a young man, fell asleep in the ditch he was digging. One of his friends jokingly took away Zayd's digging equipment, so that when he awoke, he became worried, having not found it. Meanwhile, his colleagues enjoyed their friend's confusion. When the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, heard about this, he said, Young man, you fell so deeply asleep that you didn't even realize what happened to your equipment. One narration records that the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, personally went to Zayd, smiled, and said, Ya Aba Rukad, O you deep sleeper. Thus, the Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, also rectified such types of pranks intelligently, asking, Does anyone know where Zayd's belongings are? One person replied, O Messenger of Allah, I have it, and I was the one who took it. The Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, said, one should not worry a fellow Muslim by taking his equipment and tools like this. Owing to the round-the-clock efforts of the companions and the blessed prayers of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, the ditch was finally completed. The Muslims fortified the trench after digging it. About the time it took to complete digging the trench, there exist narrations saying it took 6 days, 10 days, 15 days, 20 days, and even a month. This is what narrators have transmitted. However, the greater agreement of scholars is on 15 days and 1 month. The length of this trench was approximately 6,000 yards, or about 3.5 miles. It ran about 9 cubits in width and 7 cubits in depth. 1 cubit is normally about 1.5 feet long. Hence, the trench was 13 to 14 feet wide and 10 to 11 feet deep. This long and wide trench remained for centuries after, until erosion from the regular flow of water flowing in from the valley of Budhan eventually erased it. Budhan is one of the three famous valleys of Medina. The other two are the valley of Aqiq and Qina. Parts of the trench people had filled so that they could more easily navigate the areas around it. And the rest became filled with the runoff of the valley of Manda's water flow. Runoff refers to the flow of a mixture of water and dirt that results from rains and accumulates in a place. The famous historian of Medina from the 6th century, Hafiz ibn Najjar, writes, as for the trench, it still exists in our day and age, although it has now assumed the shape of a stream. Its walls have crumbled from many places, and a great number of date palm trees are growing inside of it. A historian of the 9th century writes, today nothing remains of that trench. For 600 years this trench remained, but in the 9th century, he records, except that its whereabouts are known by the rivulet that forms a part of the valley of Bhutan, which is still flowing in that place. It is written that despite the fact that there was an atmosphere of fear and apprehension in Medina, the hypocrites made up excuses to keep on returning to their temporary dwellings and homes. But the overall passion and zeal of the companions was a sight to behold. Women and children worked alongside them in unison, giving them their full support. Even in this dangerous moment, the wives of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, demonstrated feats of valor by standing bravely alongside him. Since the ditch was being dug outside of Medina, and the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, would spend most of his time there, the women and children of Medina were transferred to a secure fort. For this reason, Hazrat Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, would come and stay with the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, for a few days, and then Hazrat Salama would come and stay. After which Hazrat Zainab, may Allah be pleased with her, would stay for a few days. The rest of the noble wives of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, were in the forts of Banu Haritha. Some said the wives of the Holy Prophet were in the fort of Nasr of the Banu Zurayk, and some said the wives were in the fort of Farih. There are varying narrations. Fort Farih was the fort in Medina of Hazrat Hassan bin Thabit, may Allah be pleased with him. During the digging of the trench, there is mention of certain miracles. Among them, there was a rock which would not break. In the narrations, it is mentioned that when digging the trench, they came across a difficult rocky terrain. Despite all the efforts, the companions could not dig through it. Eventually, they came to the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and mentioned their predicament. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, took up a pickaxe and struck the area, which immediately became soft like sand. In one narration, it has been recorded that the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, asked for water and put his saliva inside it. He then prayed to Allah the Almighty, after which the water was poured onto the rocky terrain. Some of the companions present there said, by the one who sent the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah upon him, with the truth, as soon as the water touched the ground, it became soft like sand. This is another incident, and the incident in which there were glad tidings given, referring to certain kings, was another incident. The first incident was where he poured the water, and the other one is where he was given glad tidings of the future events with regards to certain kings. With regards to this, it is written that on one occasion, Hazrat Salman Farsi, may Allah be pleased with him, was unable to break a rock. Upon this, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, took the pickaxe from Hazrat Salman and struck the rock. There was a spark of light, and the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, exclaimed, Allahu Akbar, Allah is the greatest. The companions standing nearby also said, Allahu Akbar, and one part of the rock broke. Subsequently, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, struck it for a second time, and a flash of light was emitted from it. The Holy Prophet said, Allahu Akbar, and another part of the rock broke. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, then struck the rock for a third time, and the remaining part of the rock also broke. A spark of light came out from it once more, and the Holy Prophet said, Allahu Akbar. The companions repeated Allahu Akbar each time. Hazrat Salman Farsi was standing nearby. He submitted, O Messenger of Allah, each time you struck the rock, a flash of light emerged from it, and you exclaimed, Allahu Akbar. Upon this, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, said, O Salman, did you also witness it? To which he replied, Yes, O Messenger of Allah, I also saw it. The Holy Prophet said, the first time the flash of light emerged, I was shown the palaces of Al-Hira and the Khosrows, and Gabriel informed me that my people would conquer them. In the second flash of light, I was shown the red brick palaces of the Roman lands, and Gabriel informed me that my people would conquer them. On the third flash, I was shown the palaces of Sana'a, and Gabriel informed me that my people will capture them. Thus, rejoice for these glad tidings. Everyone proclaimed, All praise belongs to Allah. This is a true promise. Allah the Almighty has given us tidings of His succor after our difficult times. The Holy Prophet began to recount the features of the palace of Persia to Hazrat Salman. So Hazrat Salman said, The Messenger of Allah has spoken the truth. This is indeed its description. I.e., Hazrat Salman Farsi affirmed that whatever the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, mentioned was the correct description. He said, I bear witness that you are the Messenger of Allah. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, stated, O Salman, Allah the Almighty shall grant these victories after me. Syria shall be conquered, and Heraclius will flee to the farthest part of his land, and you will be victorious over Syria. No one shall be able to oppose you nor say anything against you. And the eastern land shall be conquered, and Khosrows will be killed, and there will be no Khosrows after him to ascend the throne. It is written in history that despite their circumstances of great difficulty, state of helplessness and fear, this extraordinary yet seemingly impossible glad tiding strengthened the faith of the believers and impassioned them. It is written in history that despite their circumstances of great difficulty, state of helplessness and fear, this extraordinary and yet seemingly impossible glad tiding strengthened the faith of believers and impassioned them. However, on the other hand, the hypocrites began to mock at this. The hypocrites stated, Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, is giving you glad tidings of seeing fortresses all the way from Yathrib to Hira and the cities of Khosrows being conquered. Yet you are digging a ditch in order to save yourselves. You don't even have the ability to leave from here in order to answer the call of nature. These remarks from the hypocrites at the time have been mentioned by Allah the Almighty in the following verse. وَإِذَا يَقُولُ الْمُنَافِقُونَ وَالَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ مَا وَعَدَنَا اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ إِلَّا غُرُورًا
وَالَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ مَا وَعَدَنَا اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ
And when the hypocrites and those in whose hearts was a disease said, Allah and His Messenger promised us nothing but a delusion. But then everyone witnessed that within a few years, during the era of the Khilafat of Hazrat Abu Bakr, may Allah be pleased with him, and Hazrat Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, all of these cities and palaces were conquered. The very same companions who were once in a state of helplessness and in difficult conditions now became the inheritors of these places. Hazrat Salman Farsi, may Allah be pleased with him, relates that he witnessed all of these victories. The accounts relating to the breaking of the stones and witnessing the miracles have been mentioned by Hazrat Mirza Bashir Ahmed Sahib, may Allah be pleased with him, in the following manner. In this very state of adversity and difficulty, while the ditch was being dug, a stone which simply refused to break was excavated. The state of the companions was that, due to 3 days of continuous starvation, they fell faint. Unable to succeed in this task, they finally presented themselves before the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and submitted. There is one stone which knows no breaking. At the time, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, had also tied a stone on his stomach due to hunger, but he immediately went there upon their request, and lifting an axe, struck the stone in the name of Allah. When iron hit stone, a spark flew, upon which the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, loudly said, Allahu Akbar, God is the greatest. Then he said, I have been granted the keys of the kingdom of Syria. By God, at this time I am beholding the red stone palaces of Syria. His stroke had somewhat crushed a portion of the stone. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, wielded the axe a second time in the name of Allah, which caused a spark again. Upon which the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, said, Allahu Akbar, God is the greatest. Then he said, this time I have been granted the keys of Persia, and I am witnessing the white palace of Madain. Now the rock had been broken to a large degree. The Holy Prophet wielded the axe yet a third time, which resulted in another spark. And the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, said, Allahu Akbar, God is the greatest. Then he said, now I have been endowed the keys of Yemen, and by God I am being shown the gates of Sana'a at this time. Finally, the rock was broken completely. In another narration it is related that on every occasion the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, would loudly proclaim the greatness of God, and after the companions would inquire, he would relate his visions. After this temporary hindrance had been removed, the companions engaged in their work once again. These were visions of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. In other words, during this time of affliction, Allah the Exalted created a spirit of hope and delight amongst the companions by showing the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, visions of the future victories and prosperity of the Muslims. However, apparently at the time, the circumstances were of such difficulty and hardship that upon hearing these promises, the hypocrites of Medina mocked the Muslims, saying, they do not even possess the strength to step out of their own homes and are dreaming of the kingdoms of Caesar and Khosrows. However, in the estimation of God, all of these bounties had been decreed for the Muslims. Therefore, these promises were fulfilled at their respective times. Some were fulfilled in the last days of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah upon him, while most were fulfilled in the era of his Khulafa, and thus became a source of increasing the Muslims in faith and gratitude. As a Muslim, may Allah be pleased with him, has written about this as well. He states, when the trench was being dug, a boulder was unearthed that no one could break despite all efforts. The companions informed the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, of this, and he himself came to the site. He took a pickaxe in his hand and struck the rock with great force. As the pickaxe hit the stone, a light shone forth, and the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, exclaimed, Allahu Akbar, i.e. God is great. Then he struck the stone again, and again a light emerged, and he said, Allahu Akbar. Once more he struck it a third time, and again the light shone, and the stone broke apart. At that moment, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, proclaimed, Allahu Akbar. The companions asked, O Messenger of Allah, why did you say Allahu Akbar 3 times? He replied, a light appeared 3 times when the stone was struck with the pickaxe, and each time God showed me a vision of the future victories of Islam. With the first light, I was shown the palaces of Syria and the Caesar, and his keys were given to me. With the second light, I was shown the white palaces of Madain, and the keys to the Persian Empire were granted to me. With the third light, I was shown the gates of Sana'a, and the keys to the kingdom of Yemen were given to me. Therefore, have faith in the promises of God. The enemy cannot harm you in any way. Among the miracles that occurred during this time, one involved food. And while many miracles related to food are reported, one particular event is narrated in the following manner. Hazrat Jabir bin Abdullah prepared food and was blessed in abundance. The details of this event are as follows. Hazrat Jabir once noticed that the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, had tied stones to his stomach due to hunger, and the companions had not eaten any food whatsoever for 3 days. Jabir narrates, I asked the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, for permission to go home, and he granted me permission. Upon reaching home, I said to my wife, I cannot bear to see the signs of hunger on the face of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. Is there anything at home? She replied, we have only about one sa, that is an ancient Arabic unit of measurement equivalent to 2.5 to 3 kg of barley, equivalent to approximately 2.5 seer, a South Asian unit of measurement equivalent to 933 grams, and a young goat. My wife brought the dish with the small measure of barley, and I slaughtered the goat. My wife ground the barley into flour, and I added the goat meat into the pot. My wife then said, since the food is limited, quietly inform the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, so I won't be embarrassed before him and his companions. If too many people come and the food runs short. Jabir further narrates, I went before the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and whispered, O Messenger of Allah, we have prepared a little food. You and one or two others may come. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, interlocked his fingers with mine and asked, how much food do you have? I informed him about the quantity, upon which the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, said, that is plenty and good. Go and tell your wife not to remove the pot from the fire or start baking bread until I arrive. Then the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, called out, O people of the trench, Jabir has prepared food for you. Come. The Holy Prophet led the way, and I felt such overwhelming embarrassment, of which only Allah the Almighty was aware. I thought to myself, so many people have come. How can a small amount of barley and a young goat suffice? By God, this will be a terrible disappointment. When I arrived home to my wife, I explained the situation to her, telling her that the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah upon him, was bringing all the Muhajirin and Ansar with him. My wife replied, well done. Didn't I tell you to inform the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah upon him, quietly? Jabir reassured her, I did exactly as you said. She then asked, did you invite all the people or did the Holy Prophet invite them? Jabir replied, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah upon him, invited them. At this, his wife, brimming with faith and devotion, said, then there's nothing to worry about. Allah and His Messenger know best. We need not be concerned anymore. This was the faith of a woman who in that moment had surpassed even her husband in faith and sincerity. Jabir states, then the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, entered our home and said, you should enter 10 at a time. In other words, he distributed the people there into groups of 10. Jabir's wife brought out the dough, and the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, put his saliva in it and prayed for blessings. Then the Holy Prophet put his saliva in our cooking pot and prayed for blessings, after which he instructed us, bake the bread, pour the stew and cover the pot. Then take the bread out of the oven and cover the loaves. And so that's exactly what we did. We would take out some stew and the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, would cover the pot and then uncover it. And when he looked inside, he would realize that the amount was not lessened in the slightest. We would take the bread out of the oven and then cover it, and that did not diminish either. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, would break the bread into pieces, place some meat on it and offer it to the companion, saying, eat. When a group had eaten to their fill, it would depart and send the next group until thousands of people had eaten that food and everyone left. Yet our pot was still boiling just the same, and our dough remained in the same amount. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, said, eat this yourselves and send it to others as well, because these people are very hungry. This incident has also been recorded by Hazrat Mirza Bashir Ahmad, may Allah be pleased with him, who writes, on this very occasion, a faithful companion of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, named Jabir bin Abdullah, may Allah be pleased with him, noticed signs of weakness and starvation on the countenance of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and sought permission to go home for a short while. Upon arriving at home, Jabir said to his wife, it seems as if the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, is in great hardship due to extreme hunger. Do you have something to eat? She responded, yes, I have some barley flour and one goat. Jabir states, I slaughtered the goat and kneaded the flour into dough. Then I said to my wife, you prepare the food while I present myself before the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and request him to come over. My wife said, look here, do not embarrass me. The food is very little. Do not bring too many people along with the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. Jabir goes on to relate, I went and almost in a whisper submitted to the Holy Prophet, O Messenger of Allah, I have some meat and barley dough and have asked my wife to prepare the food. I would request you to come over with a few companions and eat at our home. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, said, how much food do you have? I submitted that we have such and such amount. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, said, it is plenty. Then he cast a glance around him and called out in a loud voice, O company of the Ansar and Muhajireen, come along, Jabir has invited us to a meal. Let us go and eat. At this voice, about 1,000 hunger-stricken companions joined the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, instructed Jabir, go home quickly and tell your wife that until I arrive, she should not take the cooking pot off the stove, nor should she begin to prepare the bread. Jabir hurried home at once and informed his wife. The poor lady became extremely worried because the food was only enough for a few, and since a multitude of people were on their way, she had no idea what to do. However, when the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, arrived, he very calmly prayed and said, now begin baking the bread. After this, the Holy Prophet began to slowly distribute the food. Jabir, may Allah be pleased with him, relates, I swear by that being in whose hand is my life, that this food sufficed for everyone, and all ate their fill. Our pot was still boiling, and the dough had not been used up completely. I will continue mentioning details of the Battle of the Confederates in the future, God willing. I continuously draw attention towards prayers, put great focus on prayers. May Allah the Almighty strengthen the faith of Ahmadis wherever they may be, whether in Bangladesh, Pakistan, or other countries. May He protect every Ahmadi from every evil. May He protect the world from the fire towards which it is hurtling. May Allah the Almighty have mercy. Allah the Almighty has power over all things. And if the world turns towards reforming themselves, then Allah the Almighty can still save them from these calamities. May Allah the Almighty grant them.
Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد ان لا اله الا الله ونشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله ان الله يامر بالعدل واللسان وايتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر